Welcome to the Key Beauty Podcast, a love letter to all things Key Beauty, hosted by me, Sugar Peaches, from Sugar Peaches Loves, a German and English beauty blog dedicated to beauty products from around the world, with a special passion for Asian and indie brands. Welcome to 2020, and as is tradition at the beginning of a new year in Key Beauty, we are looking back today at what the previous year brought in terms of awesome skincare, my Korean beauty favorites of 2019. Enjoy! Hey everyone! So how is 2020 treating you so far? Okay, let's be real, I don't think this year had the best start to a year as of yet. Quite a lot of things are happening all across the globe that are giving me a severe anxiety. I'm probably not the only one. But you know what? Listen, let's keep our chins up and our spirits high since it has only been roughly 3 weeks. Everything can still change for good and we're all just gonna hope for the best and we hope that 2020 will be an amazing year. January is also my birthday month and I mean, that has basically stopped being a thing to look forward to probably since I turned 30. So I have to say January is not my favorite month, mostly because of that. It was okay while I was still in New Zealand because at least I had sunshine and summer and could go for a cool swim or, I don't know, actually celebrate with friends because all my friends now live at the other side of the globe and I don't really have new friends here in Germany since I came back, which is really sad, but it is the truth of it. And I guess that just happens to women who are single in their 30s and 40s and without children. I think from what I see with most of my old friends, they just kind of weigh their own families more than old friendships. So I just lost a couple of friendships. And yeah, it's very hard once you're out of university to make new friendships. Freelancing doesn't help and working from home office. But you know what? It is what it is. And sometimes my birthday has just become, in some years, it just become a day. Pretty normal day, and I think this will be the case this year. I always hope for the next year to be a big one where I will have cool people to celebrate with me like I used to in New Zealand. Oh, I used to have these beautiful dinners with my friends from university. Ugh, I do think nostalgically of that time, but yeah. It always makes January kind of an odd month. It's also the last month of winter, which it just seems to drag on. I don't know, not my favorite. Also, I usually start a year with all sorts of pressures and anxieties. You kind of feel you need to really get your life together now that another year's over and a new one starts. I don't know. I hope it's not just me. I hear from a lot of listeners that they feel understood when I say things like that. So I'm just gonna put it out there. Sometimes I ramble on like that and then I edit it out once I edit the podcast. So who knows, maybe this won't even make the airwaves. But you know what the good thing is about January? January leads into February and February leads into March, which, I mean, duh, right? But for me, and kind of also for you by now, because I will tell you all about it, this means visiting both the Vivaness and the Beauty Düsseldorf again. Vivaness in mid-February, and then the Beauty is, I think, the beginning of March. And I'm really excited about those two. I had to fight pretty hard this time to get my press credentials for the Beauty Düsseldorf. I don't know, it was really strange because last time I got it without any problem. And this time they tried to imply that I'm not important enough, which shouldn't play a part in giving bloggers press credentials. It should be about the quality of your work, if you actually are regularly blogging and if you're blog articles have a certain journalistic quality, shall we say. So I was a little bit offended. It was just weird because they sent me this really passive-aggressive email because I asked them, why did you reject my application to get press credentials? And they wrote me a really passive-aggressive email. It was so strange, especially because they wrote an email and then told me all the reasons why I wasn't basically good enough to visit their trade fair. And then the last sentence was, having said that, we have decided to give you your press credentials. Here's your ticket. And I just thought, that is the weirdest thing ever. I mean, you have to tell me in a one-page email that I'm actually not good enough to visit, but then you still let me visit? What does that say about you? but then what does it say about me that I'm still gonna go? I don't know. Because a couple of people that I told about that, they all said, I wouldn't go. That's an insult. At the end of the day, who cares what these people say? I'm always super honored and super happy that I can go because it is not something I take for granted. It was just weird in this case because the Viva Ness has so much more stringent and very strict guidelines who can come to their trade expo under the press ticket. Because it's quite a coveted ticket because firstly, it's for free because you're press. And secondly, you can visit throughout the entire time. So technically, you can go for more than one day. And you don't have to pay anything extra. So it's a really great thing to get. And I really appreciate it. And I always take it very seriously to actually report from these trade fairs, which is kind of the deal, you know? You can't just go and have fun. You kind of have to do your job. Or else why would you get this sort of special ticket, right? And again, you need to fulfill certain requirements. But the thing was that for the beauty, I fulfilled all of them and they weren't even as stringent. With the Viva Ness, you really have to show that you actually talk about organic beauty in your work. So the Viva Ness just didn't even bat an eye at my application and instantly gave me my ticket. It was such a strange thing. I'm still baffled by it. But yes, I did get both of them. Had to fight a bit harder to get the other one. And I really can't wait to see all the new and exciting trends and maybe some new brand discoveries. Especially the beauty has, I think, up to 18 Korean brands visiting. So very exciting for me. I'm still dreaming of one day going to the biggest skincare and beauty expo, not just anywhere, but in the entire world, which is the Bologna Cosmoprof. So it's a trade fair in Italy. And getting to Italy from Germany is not that hard. You can even take a train. It's like an overnight train, or you can take a bus. It's a long travel distance if you take those two. You can also go by plane, but I hate flying, so I would probably rather sit on a train for 15 hours than have a half an hour flight. But be that as it were, even if I could afford the travel, I could not afford a hotel because I looked up the prices, and usually for trade fairs it's the same in at the Viva Ness. I can only go a day because I can't afford a hotel. But that's just a 4-hour train ride, so I can do that for one day. It's stressful, but it's acceptable. Yeah, but obviously in Italy, in Bologna, I would need one night of accommodation. And I looked up hotels. Most of them were already booked out. When did I start looking? I think it was already in November. Most of the stuff was already booked out. As I said, it is the biggest trade fair for everyone, not just a niche area like with the Viva Ness, but everyone in the beauty industry all over the world. Everyone's coming to Bologna. And so I was already late basically for the good accommodation, the budget accommodation. So they were already, most hostels and everything was already booked out. Some hotels, mid-price hotels that looked really shady, were still open. And I thought about it, but then I started going through the booking process and it's like 200 euros for a really shitty hotel that probably has bed bugs and cockroaches and everything else. And if you just want a normal one, it's something like 500 up to 1,000. And again, those aren't even the luxury hotels. So with all due respect and with all the love I have for this profession that I'm trying to really work my way into, becoming more and more serious about reporting and being more journalistic than just, I guess, lifestyle blogging. But I cannot afford this. This is impossible for me at this point. But it's depressing because most of the big Korean brands that I still haven't been able to establish a contact with and have a way of talking to, even when I just have a question that I need answered for research about the brand, if it's a smaller brand, there's usually no way to contact them. And this would be a fantastic way to finally at least give them my card and say, hi, I exist. This is my work. And of course, to see their products in person as well. So I would love to go to the Cosmoprof. I thought maybe this year I can do it, but it's still not possible. This year I will have to remain within Germany, where I can travel distances that are still doable without staying overnight. And even with the Viva Ness, I'm a bit sad because I wanted to do 2 days, but it's the same. The accommodation is absurd. The prices go up to like 3 times what they usually are. So even if you find a hostel in a really shitty 10 bedroom mixed dormitory, and I'm not a fan of mixed dormitories. I'm getting a little bit too old for this sort of hostel life that I could have done in my 20s. I just don't sleep well with other strangers snoring around me. I mean, I snore myself. Oh my God. I discovered it when I woke up. Do you know that feeling in case you are snoring when you wake up and you actually can still hear yourself snoring? Yeah, that happened to me and it was a shock. So yeah, I'm getting older. I'm an old lady now, middle-aged. And yeah, there's certain boundaries that I have. And I think a large hostel dormitory where I pay 140 euros, that is a no for me. Thank you very much. So I have 1 day at the Viva Ness. Will be a little bit stressful. I won't be able to see everything, but I'm just gonna make my list and go through the brands beforehand and check out which ones I really want to visit. And then I have 2 days at the Beauty Düsseldorf, and I might even be meeting up with another key beauty blogger from Germany. So that would be fun if the two of us can explore together. But she wasn't sure yet if she can get the press credentials as well, though she's a lot more important than me. So maybe she won't have as much trouble as me. She has, I think, 10 times the followers that I, no, not 10 times, maybe like 5 times more. But yeah, she's been doing this also much longer. She was one of the first ones to blog about key beauty in Germany, in German. So yeah, that's the plan for the next months. And I really look forward to that. And to be honest, we'll probably just be relieved when this pretty much worst of all the months of the year month is over. I think January and November are my hate months. I hate them. I always liked November in New Zealand. It was always that time when it gets more summery. But here it's just, yeah, not great. But whatever. Spring is around the corner. New K-beauty trends are around the corner. It will be all just wonderful once this goddamn birthday is over. In 2 days. Today is the 22nd. My birthday is on the 24th. Not sure if the episode will come out before my birthday or right after, but yeah, I will probably feel a lot better once you are listening to this. Just know that I'm feeling a lot better about life. So lots of exciting stuff lined up for 2020. Again, probably will be featured here on the podcast. I didn't do an episode on the Beauty Düsseldorf last year, but this year I really want to do it, which will probably come out, I'm guessing, in April. But we'll see about that. Now, I'm thinking the next episode after this one will probably be a parallel to last year where I did my wish list for 2019. Probably going to do another wish list episode for 2020. Hopefully coming out not too late after this one so that you don't get annoyed by still talking about the beginning of a year when it's already, I don't know, March. And also because I'm kind of stressed to make sure that I have enough time after the wishlist 2020 then to do my Viva Ness podcast episode. And I want to do that one hopefully in February. For today's episode, however, no more 2020 talk because we are going back in time and talking about my most favorite key beauty products from the previous year. As I did last year, I'm splitting the favorites up by product category. So cleansers, essences, serums, etc. And also, like I did last year, I will skip doing the craves, faves, and misbehaves of the month today as well, because it would just be overkill, I think. Also, just a note here, just because I don't mention something, a product here that I have reviewed positively or raved about on my Insta feed or on the podcast or on the blog, even if I don't mention it here, this doesn't mean I was dishonest about it or I didn't like it after all. The thing is, I like a lot of things and I also use a lot of things, but sometimes there's just this one product that I like the best. Does that mean the other ones suddenly drop in my appreciation? No. It's just sometimes there's that one that has a little bit of extra that is maybe a 10.5 out of 10. Or sometimes you have 5, 10 out of 10 products, but that one product just for some reason always does that extra little bit of beautiful, I don't know, glow enhancing thing to your face Or sometimes it's just a little bit random and you can't quite explain it. There's a certain subjectivity, I guess, to what becomes a fave of the year. But I just wanted to add this because people always seem to imply that reviewers aren't honest about having loved a product if they never mention it again. But sometimes we just use up a product. We really liked it, but then we have 10 other products that we are supposed to try and review next. So we will not always necessarily repurchase something even though we really liked it. This has happened to me before and at the moment keeps happening more and more because actually I've started to get more things to try out, which is great. But yeah, sometimes it also means that I almost fondly look back to certain products I tried and go, I want to buy this again, but I still have 50 new sheet masks, so why should I buy that other sheet mask I really liked? First world problems, I guess. All right, but now let's finally dive into my Korean beauty favorites of 2019. And we're gonna start off with cleansers. Now, 2019 for me was actually the year of the second step cleansers over any exciting new first step cleansers. I didn't really click that much with oil cleansers, to be honest, this year. It was all about really good creamy, milky, and foamy cleansers. So in terms of my favorite first step or oil cleanser for 2019, I would actually say that the one I mostly reached for and enjoyed for its straightforward functionality is an old favorite, which is the Banilaco Clean It Zero cleansing balm. Not very exhilarating, I know. Sorry. But the Banilaco Clean It Zero just really did a good job, especially on days where I was wearing stronger makeup, which doesn't happen that much anymore. But whenever I did wear a lot of makeup, I would always go for this one. I just know it is a reliable choice. It always does a good job melting away any stubborn makeup. I do tend to clean up after with micellar water, certainly for the eye makeup. But in general, it does such a good job just melting away that foundation and any sunscreen. It's a reliable choice. I like the newer version as well. They renewed the formula. A lot of people were upset by that. I get on with it really well. I'm really happy with it. It's reliable, lasts a long time. You only need a little bit. It's good cleansing balm. Only the Hamish one, I would say, is maybe a little bit better. But I just wanted to try the new Banilaco formula, so this time I bought that one. Still going strong with it, still really like it. And I also really like the Shu Uemura Pore Finest Sakura Refreshing Cleansing Oil. Long, long title. This is a Japanese cleansing oil. It feels very, very light and not as syrupy thick as some other cleansing oils. It is targeted more towards oily and combo skin, and that really shows and really works for my skin. And also, this rinses off like a dream. There's just zero residue. I don't have to rub around as much as with many of the other cleansing oils and oil balms that I've tried. The only sad part about this one is that it's quite pricey. All the Shu Uemura cleansing oils are really, really expensive. I got my sample size. I think it's a 50 ml size. I got it from my sister. God bless her. She always knows what I like. And she got hers. She got like a little set and she was like, oh, you can have the smaller size. She got it at Changi Airport in Singapore where you can get duty free. So that's the way to buy expensive Japanese brands such as SK2 and Shu Uemura, to be honest, because otherwise, it's really hard to buy everyday products such as cleansing oils, cleansers, where you actually need a lot of it. I think it's always probably wise to either buy duty free or go for maybe not the most expensive brand, at least for us mere mortals who have normal budgets. Nothing wrong with buying luxury if you can afford it. As for second step cleansers, the Pure Lotus Jeju Botanical pH Balancing Cleanser was by far my favorite foaming cleanser of 2019. I've almost finished up my bottle, which is not easy to do with a foaming cleanser since you usually only need a tiny amount for each wash. I take forever to get through one bottle, especially because I use a lot of cleansers at the same time. But this one, yeah, maybe 3 or 4 washes left and then it's all gone, unfortunately. This is a very gentle and very thorough cleanser that uses cleansing agents which aren't as stripping as especially sodium lauryl sulfate can be. After cleansing, my skin never feels tight or dried out. It just feels very relaxed and actually quite moisturized, I would say. I feel this is a great cleanser for all skin types, especially if you have sensitive skin, although you should check with the essential oils that it contains, because there are some citrus essential oils in it. Not everyone does well with those. But I think especially if you have dehydrated skin, drier skin, then this is a great cleanser. It really leaves this, I would say, relaxed feeling after you wash your face. An even gentler second step cleanser that I've become very fond of is the Sioris Cleanse Me Softly Milk Cleanser. You really can't get more gentle and non-stripping than this. It's almost impossible to find anything gentler. This is a cleansing milk, as the name suggests, so it doesn't contain any harsh ingredients at all. It doesn't foam up. It's just like it almost feels like a milky cream. It just contains mostly natural oils and humectants such as aloe vera gel. Now, sometimes this does feel a bit too rich for my skin. I tend to use it more in colder weather, also mostly on days where I don't wear a lot of makeup, or I also really like it as my morning cleanser, where I just have to clean up the, I guess, nightly grime, the gross film I get. Does anyone else have that? Because I've talked about this before. I'm always amazed that people say, oh, I don't wash my face in the morning. I'm just fresh as a daisy. I always get this really gross film on my face, not just when I use, you know, a lot of hydrating products, just in general. I guess it's just the sebum from the night. But I could never leave the house without washing my face. I would just feel really strange. But I don't really want to do a full, really intense cleansing routine either. And the Sioris Cleanse Me Softly Milk Cleanser is a really nice cleanse, just an easy cleanse to get off the basic grime and dirt of the night. What I also really like about it is that this has an airless pump bottle. It keeps products fresher for longer. It's pretty much the best packaging to avoid potential spoilage or contamination. I just think it's one of the many things that show that this brand really thinks about everything very carefully. And I just really appreciate that sort of artisanal consideration towards what is the best thing to do to keep product fresh. And they tend to use minimal preservatives. People may like that or not, but I think it works in conjunction with the airless pump containers that they use. To me, this is just a wonderful cleanser. It's so gentle and it's great for freaked out skin as well. So, absolute favorite of mine. So on to the next category, which is wash-off masks. Two masks really won my heart here this year. First off, the Sandowa Camellia Flower Antioxidant Cream Mask, which was actually a gift from one of my listeners. Hey, I hope you're still listening. This wash-off mask has a gel-like texture with tiny specks of real camellia flowers. It looks so pretty. I did so many texture shots of this one. It's been made for Instagram. The mask is called a cream mask, but it isn't really creamy in texture. Not at all, in fact. It really works well for my combo skin. Just suits me just fine. I just find it a bit weird that they call it a cream mask. I just don't think it fits because it's clearly a gel and it feels not very high in oils or anything. It does contain camellia seed oil, but it doesn't feel oily or thick or creamy or rich. It has more of a runny gel texture. So why not call it a gel mask? Oh well. This mask contains camellia flower extract, camellia flower powder, green tea extract, scintilla asiatica extract, broccoli extract, which is very good for oily skin, and licorice root extract. So it's packed full with antioxidants as well as skin brightening ingredients. I find this to be mostly a very refreshing experience when I use it. Not so much super, super richly moisturizing, but I do notice that when I use this mask, afterwards my skin always looks extra smooth and relax. It has a nice bouncy feel to it. It's a lovely mask to use while relaxing in the bath, for instance. And it also works well if you don't want to use sheet masks for whatever reason. Mostly, usually people have environmental concerns around sheet masks. I think that this is a very nice one for people who are into eco-friendliness. Sandawa isn't fully organic. I've talked about this before here, but they are a natural and eco-conscious brand. They mostly use glass bottles, for instance, for their products, and the way they harvest their ingredients as well. There's a lot of care for the environment connected to the brand. And another glass-jarred wash-off mask is the Yurang Clarifying Blue Mask. Now, this is a clay mask, so it's mostly suitable for oily and acne-prone or congested skin. I honestly would be careful using this if you have dry skin. This does dry out quite strongly. Most clay masks really do, so it's not a fault of this product in particular. The blue tint in this mask comes from its azulene content, and of course I totally don't need to tell you anymore about why azulene is such an interesting and very beneficial skincare ingredient, because I already talked about this 1,000 times on the podcast. Yurang is an aromatherapy brand, so there are also always, in all of their products, there are also always a lot of essential oils. So you just need to be aware of that and need to know if this is okay for your skin type. The mask also uses kaolin clay and jojoba beads for a very deep cleanse. So I tend to use this pretty powerful detox mask just before my period starts. My face is usually very oily before my period when I'm PMSing, and that's also when it usually tends to break out. I also suffer from much enlarged pores, tend to get more blackouts. It's always that horror week in the month where my skin is just not what it should be and where I really have to go for the sort of stuff that I'm more used as a younger person and as a teenager. Just revert back to my teenage years and go for the powerful clay masks and detox products. The mask dries on the face, so the best way to make use of the scrubbing jojoba beads without tearing your skin apart is to first very gently massage the mask onto the skin and then let it dry. Don't rub your face super strongly after it has already dried. The beads are quite large, so best to be careful. If your skin is very sensitive, I wouldn't do the scrubbing part and just put it on your face. Leave it on for a couple of minutes. It doesn't need to be on the face for too long, and then wash it off. Now, after I use this, okay, I'm not going to lie, my skin sometimes looks a bit inflamed. I'm probably not selling this mask very well, but I really, really do like it for what it can do when it comes to detoxing and just clearing out the gunk, the deep gunk from my enlarged pores and getting rid of all the excess sebum. I usually tend to use this at night and then do a really thorough hydrating layering routine afterwards. And this is why I really like this mask. Sleeping over it, the skin calms right down. You wake up the next morning and the skin just looks so clear and so clean. And it's wonderful. It's a really cool mask. If you know how to use it, if you use it carefully and not too often, this is a true lifesaver, especially if you have hormonal breakouts and excess sebum problems during that time of the month. And I actually think this is also a really cool mask for men who have a thicker skin overall. You can probably do really well with this mask. Now, next up is exfoliants and actives. There hasn't really been an Asian beauty product containing actives that I consciously tried out and really liked this year. I tried the Milano CC and it's okay, but when it comes to vitamin C products, I have tried so many things by now. Still, I haven't found that product that makes me just really love it. I've tried a couple of the ordinary ones. I've tried the Clear Serum that a lot of bloggers hate. That's the one that I actually like best, but I just want to try one with a higher percentage of vitamin C. But all the ordinary ones that I've tried so far have all been flops. I didn't like any of those. And none of the exfoliants from Asian brands have really impressed me this year. Now, I'm still a massive, massive fan of the by Wishtrend 5% Mandelic Acid Skin Prep Water. I would still rank it as one of the absolute best chemical exfoliants I've ever tried. But I think I already mentioned it last year. I think it was a favorite already last year. So I don't know if I can still count it here, especially since I only used my bottle of the skin prep water, I think, until maybe March of 2019, so not throughout the entire year. The two acids that I really loved, the chemical peels, were from The Ordinary. It's the Ordinary Lactic Acid 10% plus HA 2%, and one from Bioderma, a French pharmacy brand. It's the Bioderma Sebium Night Peel. Now, I'm not sure if you can get the Bioderma Night Peel outside of Europe. If you can, however, get this, do try it, because it is surprisingly gentle yet very effective. And considering that it contains glycolic acid, which I don't do too well with usually, I became a massive fan of this. This contains 15% glycolic acid, which usually would be too much for me. I don't do well with high percentage glycolic acid because it tends to aggravate my redness issues. I was quite nervous to use this at first. However, this is so, so gentle. It doesn't feel drying or stripping, or it doesn't even tingle on the skin. I don't use the night peel too often, as it does provide quite a strong overnight peel and you shouldn't over exfoliate your skin. But when I do use this, I always notice how much clearer and more refined my skin texture appears the next day. It's great. It was a surprise hit for me. As for the Ordinary Lactic Acid 10%, this is just perfect for me. It's still a strong peeling all in all, but lactic acid is very gentle compared to other AHAs. Its molecules are much larger and thus don't peel the skin as intensely, because they can't get into the skin or sort of peel off as much of the skin as glycolic acid tends to do. I feel that this peeling gives the skin a very nice glow and polish, and it never feels too extreme, as long as I don't use it every day, of course. This also comes in a 5% strength, which I think would be a great beginner's peel for chemical peel newbies. I know I still owe you an episode on chemical peels and acids. I promise I'll get onto that at some point, I promise. Now, I do kind of hope that 2020 will be the year where I finally find a really good BHA. I don't know why, but any BHA products that I've tried, I've just not been that much of a fan. I did like the COSRX Blackhead Liquid, but for me, this has started to be too weak. I just need something a little bit stronger and haven't been that successful. If you know a really good BHA peeling that I can get my hands on, let me know. Okay, next category, toners. One of my favorite Asian beauty categories by far. As you all know, I love toners. Three toners made it on the list of favorites for 2019, and it was actually hard narrowing it down to those three. So many good toners this year, last year, I mean. Hopefully this year as well. It's starting out well already, I can tell you that. One toner in particular was pretty much a must on this list. It had an instant spot on the favorites list. Probably one of the first ones I wrote down. And it is, of course, the Isntree Green Tea Fresh Toner. Ah, it's just been such a wonderful addition to my routine all throughout the year. Most notably, of course, during summer, because it's just so delightfully lightweight. I've been raving about this toner so often now, and also wrote a full blog review a while ago, so I don't want to repeat myself too much here. Suffice it to say that this is a great toner for oilier skin types, or those of you who want something more on the watery side instead of those thicker toners. I think those are always hit and miss for a lot of people. Not everyone does well with the thicker consistency. It's also a great one for anyone who just loves green tea and needs an extra boost of antioxidants in their skincare routine. I finished my bottle a while ago and miss it sorely in my routine. I will definitely repurchase this. I'm just holding out to when I see Isntree in person at the Beauty Düsseldorf in March, because you can get a little bit of a discount usually when you repurchase it there. At least last year it was like that. So I have my credit card at the ready. I might just buy two. And I'm also probably again going to talk everyone around me into buying it. That's what happened last time, because I was so excited about it. And everyone standing around me, all the Germans, were like, oh, what is it? What is it? Can I see as well? I always say I should really work for these people as a salesperson. because I always make other people buy stuff. The next toner fave on my list is probably also no surprise for regular listeners of this podcast and readers of my blog. The Root Tree Crip Therapy Revital Toner was another listener gift, hey, and I still really, really love it. I use this mostly in summer as well. At the moment, it's kind of lying dormant. It is probably one of the lightest hydrating toners I know. It is more viscous than the Isntree Green Tea Fresh Toner, but it still gets absorbed lightning fast. It doesn't have any stickiness or any tacky feeling. It does contain a little bit of alcohol, and I do think this is actually one of the reasons why it absorbs so well, because alcohol, as negative as it can be for skincare, it also does actually aid penetration of certain ingredients. So for certain skin types and in certain situations, such as very hot and humid weather, it can actually sometimes be beneficial. I'm gonna say this with a very, very low voice so that no angry skincare blogger is going to attack me. So yeah, this is a very nicely plumping toner. I loved using this during summer. Pretty much it was the only hydrating key beauty toner with a thicker consistency that my skin could tolerate in the hotter months, because it still felt so light and it wasn't cloying or sticky or tacky at all. It's just so refreshing, and it also works super well when you want to layer a number of different toners. It works super well in conjunction with the Isntree Green Tea Fresh Toner, for instance, or the Tokto Toner, which I also just finished and also reviewed on the blog. I can't talk today for some reason. So Root Tree, still a brand that I really love and really hope will finally make its way to the European Union, where it still hasn't landed and it's still really difficult to get the brand here, unfortunately. They're really huge in Russia. I don't know, a lot of K-beauty brands lately have been landing in Russia. I'm guessing that the import restrictions aren't as strict as they are in the European Union. I don't know why the EU can't just make new regulations to make it easier to import certain skincare, because they do all have safe ingredients and it's pretty easy, I think, to show that. So I don't know, because you have to basically get, in order to be sold in the EU, this is how Isntree at least explained it to me, because they have certain products that they can sell in the European Union, but not all of them. You have to apply for every single product to get the certification or whatever it's called to be allowed to export it into the European Union. So it's just a really painstakingly long process, and I just wish they could find a way to speed it up a little bit. Apparently a lot easier to sell your stuff in Russia. Wow. Now the last toner I need to mention here is the COSRX Propolis Synergy Toner. This one is still quite new in my routine. It is another souvenir from Seoul. Thank you, Mama. And I've been so in love with it that I just had to mention it here. I expected this toner to be rather thick and gloopy, probably because most Propolis products are usually more on the syrupy, thick side. But actually, and this was a surprise, this toner is more liquidy, more watery in texture overall. It still has a certain stickiness to it, which I love though, because it just feels very soothing and nice and very plumping on the skin. And it's also kind of expected, because propolis again has that sticky, almost oily quality to it as an ingredient. This toner is supposed to be used in conjunction with the newly renewed, that was a weird one, the renewed COSRX Propolis Ampoule. So in synergy, as it were, hence the fancy name of the toner. But to be honest, it works just fine on its own. You don't need to mix anything into it to get hydrating and plumping properties from it. For me, this is the perfect in-between texture compared to the very light Tokto or the Green Tea Fresh Toner, and then the thicker toners such as, say, the Claire's Supple Preparation Toner. The COSRX Propolis Toner still has a certain richness, as it does contain hyaluronic acid and glycerin, two strong humectants, but it isn't as intense as those thicker toners, and it doesn't take as long to sink in as some of those do. The propolis and honey extracts do a great job making my skin look super dewy and smooth. Propolis really is just a super glow-giving miracle ingredient in my eyes. And the toner also is so great for sensitive skin, because It does not contain any alcohol, added fragrance. It's a very gentle formula overall. Really fantastic product. Very, very impressed with it. Definitely am going to write a full blog review soon. I've just lately, for some reason, reviewed mostly toners on the blog in English. So I feel that maybe next up should be another product. I'm thinking of one cleanser that I really need to review and tell you about. And then also a couple of ampoules, because they've really been impressing me as well. Next up is essences. And only one essence really wowed me this year, but it did wow me indeed. The Iope Bio Essence Intensive Conditioning is pretty much a cult classic and has been on my wish list forever. I feel I talked about it not too long ago. Maybe it was a fave of the month or a crave of the month. I'm not sure. But I feel I have spoken about it on the podcast before. I tend to start mixing up all my faves, craves, and misbehaves after a while. I just hope I don't repeat myself too much. I'm sorry if I do. So this is a classical first treatment essence. So it has a water-like texture and it contains a high amount of fermented ingredients, namely Saccharomyces ferment filtrate. Saccharomyces are basically fermented yeast microbes, which are said to brighten skin and help combat aging, or rather the extract of those. They don't put the microbes on the skin. I am not stating this correctly. I don't want you to think they're putting weird creatures on your skin. It's just an extract out of those. The essence also contains niacinamide, which, I mean, do I even still need to explain how amazing that ingredient is? I don't think so. It is brightening, it is texture smoothing, it's pore refining, anti-inflammatory, sebum reducing. The list goes on. It's such a beneficial ingredient. I've been using the Iope essence pretty much daily since November, so technically not that long, but I still wanted to make it a fave of 2019 because I did start using it in 2019 and I can really see the benefits of this product already. It's such a great product. I just needed to talk about it. Especially if you want to start getting serious about anti-aging, this one is one I can really recommend to get into that anti-aging mindset, especially if you still also have problems with stronger textures. I always find that anti-aging products can often be too much if you're still, especially in your 30s, early 30s, when you still also combat oiliness and acne. I mean, I still combat that, but especially in the 30s, it's very, very normal to still have adult acne and actually still have more of a skin type where you feel you're still a teenager. So it's hard to find lightweight anti-aging products without any heavy oils. So I always feel that a really good first treatment essence is a great first time product to start getting into anti-aging, because it also shows results very clearly after a while. So I have these annoying lines right around my nose or right under my nose, between the lip and the nose. You know which ones I mean. I forgot what the terminology for them is, but you know, the ones that kind of drag down your whole facial expression and make you look as if you have resting bitch face. And they just make you look a little bit stern, which is fine, but for me, I just don't like the look of them, and I don't like that they're starting to get saggy and more prominent in my face. Now, I swear that ever since I started using the Iope essence, these wrinkles have started to diminish. I swear I can tell. I also feel that the overall texture of my skin has improved, and the brightening effect is also very noticeable. Though to be fair, with that one, I have to add that I do use a number of brightening products. So maybe it is sort of the conjunction of all of them and not just the essence. But it is definitely doing something to my skin, softening those wrinkles and just making everything look a little bit firmer and, dare I use the word, more youthful. The essence is also alcohol and pretty much fragrance free. Actually, most first treatment essences are, at least if they're good ones. And it feels super, super light. It doesn't hydrate very much, to be fair. So I would always add a hydrating toner as well. Some people can use those two interchangeably, either use a first treatment essence or a toner. For my skin, it usually needs both in one routine. I do not think this is enough for dry skin. So if you have dry skin, I would see it more as a sort of, I guess, anti-aging water or brightening water. Don't expect too much hydration from it, I would say. But what I do notice when I use this is that my skin always seems softer overall. I really, really adore this essence, and I would even want to go so far as to say that this may be my new favorite first treatment essence, period, not just for the previous year. I mean, we'll see what comes up this year, but it's a really strong one, and I got it for a really good price, so yes, bonus. Next up is serums, and okay, this is probably no surprise to anyone who has been following, especially my Instagram account or read my blog, because I could not shut up about this particular serum, which confusingly is actually called an essence. But yeah, no surprise that this made the favorites list for serums, and it's of course the Yurang True Rose Repair Essence. This was a clear favorite of mine, an absolute holy grail love that I used up to the last drop. I really tried to get out the last bits, and I'm so sad that the glass bottle is now completely empty, unfortunately. As I said, this is called an essence, but it has a typical gel texture. It's quite thick, actually, though it does melt into the skin upon contact and then turns more watery. But I would not call this an essence from my understanding. I'm always very confused by the way that Korean beauty uses the word essence. I actually think, after I studied the category a little bit, that this might not be 100% accurate, but I feel that essence to Korean beauty companies is actually just anything that has potent anti-aging ingredients. Although the True Rose Repair Essence does not fall under that umbrella necessarily. Maybe because it contains niacinamide. I don't know. But it just seems to be used for what I would consider actual essences, such as a first treatment essence, and then also for toners and for serums. I don't know. At some points I need to write a full blog post about essences, I think, because they're so confusing to people. For now, let's just call a spade and call this a serum, because it is a serum. And it is a beautiful serum at that. To me, this is a lightweight serum that mostly functions as a deep hydrator for my skin. But I also noticed that it has, as I said, a brightening effect. Again, probably because of the niacinamide. And it is also, I would say, it has sort of an invigorating effect on the skin. This was so lovely in summer, really refreshing and so plumping. It gave my skin such a nice bounce and made it look particularly juicy whenever I used it. The essence contains a high amount of organic rose damascena water, said to be great for hydration, calming, and redness issues. And of course, I already discussed rose water in a previous episode, because it's been such a trend in the last year in particular. It was all about the rose ingredients in 2019. So to me, a clear winner in the serum category in 2019. Otherwise, I tried a few serums that I liked, but they were not really from Asian brands. Honestly, it's mostly been French pharmacy serums that I loved, and two in particular were real loves of mine. One is the Vichy Mineral 89 Serum. I think you can get that in the US as well. It is so pure, very, very simplistic, minimalist formula. Mostly really consists of thermal water and hyaluronic acid, but it feels fantastic on the skin. Just pure, pure hydration. I think this could work for pretty much all skin types, even if you're super sensitive, because there just isn't that much in it. Unless, of course, you react to any of the ingredients, you have a personal reaction to them. But otherwise, this one just fits right into an Asian skincare routine, works super well for layering. You can mix it into other products. Fantastically versatile product. And then another serum I also just loved and just finished and really I'm thinking about maybe repurchasing it. It's not cheap. It's around, I think, 25 euros. I don't know, but I'm torn. I'm tempted because I liked it so much. And that's the Bioderma Hydra Bio Serum, or Hydra Bio, if I want to be pseudo French. It is a tad more elegant than the Vichy Serum, a bit more elegantly formulated. And also, I would say it is more smoothing and more effective at combating dehydration long term. It's just a tad richer, even though it still has a very gel-like texture. I do love both of these equally, and I would absolutely repurchase them. I actually have already gone through 3 bottles of the Vichy one, because they often have it on specially in Germany for, like, I think 15 or 17 euros. Really, really, really good deals you can get here, because I live close to the French border. Nice. The Bioderma, however, is always a little bit more expensive. But yeah, I would, I'm seriously considering repurchasing that one. Next category is ampoules. I used to say ampoule, but I actually looked up the pronunciation and apparently it's ampoule. I think ampoule sounds really weird because we have a German word called Ampel, which means traffic lights. So I always think I'm saying Ampel, but it's ampoule. So I just have to learn to say it correctly. Ampoule. I still want to say ampoule. It just looks correct when I look at the written word. Okay, ampoule. So to me, 2019 was really the year of the ampoules. I had so many good key beauty ampoules that I tried and loved, especially in the second half of the year, when my mom brought a few over from Korea, and oh, they're so good. The Wonjin Effect Vita Moist Ampoule had been on my wish list for a while, so I was super, super happy when I finally got to try it out, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I wrote a full blog review about this Biface ampoule a while ago, so I make sure again to link it in my episode notes, as I always do when I mention a review here, so that you can guys can check it out and read up on it. What I absolutely loved about this ampoule is the texture. It's really something special. It does have an oil face, so you have to shake the bottle before you apply the ampoule liquid, but it does not feel oily. It melts into your skin and absorbs quickly, leaving it velvety soft and with a very subtle glow. This is a moisturizing ampoule, great for dry and dehydrated skin. And because it is so light, it is awesome as a richer summer ampoule. I used this pretty much all year round and I loved it. I've almost used it up now, sadly, because I managed to actually knock it over. Well done, me. So it is almost used up. But I also used it quite a lot. You only need 2 or 3 drops. It lasts a very long time and just spreads out over the skin so, so well. It's a fantastic product. The By Wishtrend Polyphenols in Propolis 15% ampoule is another newer addition, and I've swiftly learned to appreciate this beauty, and enough to make it one of my favorites of 2019. I have talked about this before here on the podcast. I feel, again, I'm pretty sure it was a fave of the month, maybe even last podcast episode. So I hope I don't repeat myself too much. Now, you know that I love a good propolis ampoule, right? You know I always rave about what it can do for your skin, how well it works. And this one is so special because the texture is so, so special compared to other ampoules with high propolis contents that I've tried. What I really like about this syrupy textured ampoule is the fact that it's not as heavy and rich as many other propolis ampoules I've tried. It feels less sticky and applies beautifully to the skin. I have clearly noticed improvements in my skin texture and overall tone since I've started using this, and it's become a near daily part of my routine. I use it sometimes twice a day in both the morning and the evening routine because I like it so much and it is so easily added to any routine. It doesn't have a problem with other textures. It plays very nicely with all the other layers. Just fantastic. I say fantastic a lot at the moment, don't I? I think that just happens when you talk about your all-time favorites. Ugh, I just am always scared that I get too repetitive. There's certain keywords I keep using and I have to be really careful about those. So I guess the keyword of the episode is fantastic. But it really is fantastic, so why use another word? If propolis ampoules are usually too much for your skin, especially when you have skin that is more on the oilier side, then this could be a great one for you. I definitely love it and actually prefer it to the higher dosage propolis ampoules I've tried. You know, there are some that have 85% or something similar. Also, to me, makes them a lot heavier. So I've actually learned to appreciate the mere 15% of this one. Okay, and on to category number 8, sheet masks. This is another category where I was able to try out a number of really awesome products in 2019. Sheet masks are, from my end, really not a must in your skincare. It's not a must-have item. For me, they kind of are, but I'm starting to kind of change my views on them, especially now that we're also aware that we have to start rethinking certain things in terms of wastage. I'm not quite there yet, to be honest. I have said this before. I'm not someone who is 100% with any sort of thing. I'm not vegan. I'm not super eco-friendly all the time, but I'm also aware that a lot of people just really reject sheet masks because of the wastage connected to it, and I really do respect that highly. So I really understand when people skip them. However, to me, they're just a great way to give my skin some extra pampering. And especially when my skin is stressed or my soul is stressed, it's such a convenient method to just give it an extra boost. Again, both the skin and the soul, to just relax a little bit and feel a little bit tempered for very little coin. A clear favorite of mine in 2019 was the Aqualabo Oh Very Bright Sheet Mask. I had a 10 pack of this mask and I used them all up. If I didn't have plenty of other sheet masks to use up at the moment, I would probably have repurchased this because these are so, so good. They're exceptional. This mask is just super, super hydrating and so, so gentle. The formulation is truly wonderful. Lots of skin-friendly ingredients such as Centella Asiatica, niacinamide, hyaluronic acid, licorice root extract, and it's entirely free from any drying alcohols or fragrance. It's quite rare to find fully fragrance-free sheet masks. So this is one I can really recommend if you have more fragrance-sensitive skin. The sheet of this mask is also very thin and well-made. It sits snugly on the skin and holds the essence exceptionally well. So I tended to leave this on for a good 45 minutes at least. Had no problems with it. Didn't dry out at all. I would say the Aqualabo masks have become one of my all-time favorites, not just for the year. Just, I cannot stop raving about these masks. Actually, now talking about them, I realize how much I miss them. Kind of want them back. Although at the moment, I'm trying out another mask that might actually top the Aqualabo and actually make it to all-time favorites. We'll see, though. I've used two of them so far. I really like them. Not gonna tell you which ones they are. Might talk about them a little bit later on. Another sheet mask I enjoyed greatly and wish I could repurchase is the Aroma Young Mandarin Aromatherapy Facial Mask. Now, this one probably isn't for everyone because it contains essential oils and citrus essential oils at that, mandarin oil, of course. I know many of you prefer to avoid those. I was surprised that the somewhat high essential oil concentration in this mask and the other two I've tried from the brand, one even with peppermint, which usually my skin does not like that very much, but it didn't really bother my skin. Same with the mandarin one. Now, the best thing to me about this mask and all of the Aroma Young masks is the sheet and its material. It's made from extra soft cupro and feels so pleasant on the skin. It's hard to describe the sheet to you if you happen to have tried the Too Cool for School egg sheet masks. You do know the material. It's very, very similar. It's different from the usual cotton sheets that you get with many of the sheet masks. Especially when they are lower quality, they can feel a little bit scrapey and kind of rough on the skin. This one, it's very, very soft. And also, this might sound gross, but it's actually a plus. It feels kind of slimy. What it means is that it has a slight tackiness to it and stickiness. But what that also means is that it clings very, very well to the skin. The adherence quality is very, very good, which you want for a sheet mask. It really seems to suck onto skin once you apply it, which, again, probably doesn't sound that appealing, but it means that you don't have that often annoying slippage that at least I get with many sheet masks, especially if they are the thicker cotton sheet type. This one is very thin and it sits tightly and snugly. It feels very, very comfortable on the skin. After I used the Mandarin sheet mask in particular, out of the three that I've tried, same with the other two ones, but this one, very, very noticeable. My skin just felt and looked firmer and it got such a nice glow. It's a great pre-event or pre-date style mask. Very lovely. The next category is eye creams. Honestly, nothing new really tickled my fancy this year when it comes to eye care products. I mostly still used my two favorites from 2018, the Wamisa Eye Essence and the A by BOM Eye Essence, both absolutely beautiful. Otherwise, I actually went for a French pharmacy product for the rest of the year that I really, really enjoy, the Vichy Mineral 89 Eye Serum. I'm not sure, again, if it's sold in Northern America, but if it is, I can really recommend this for people who need a gel texture for their eye care. I had trouble with Milia this year because I tried a couple of richer eye creams. So I kind of dialed down on the use of any heavy creams again around the eyes. It just doesn't seem to work that well for me. I just have to be so careful with richer textures. What I tend to do now is I just layer gel and watery textures around the eyes. It's really helped keep any Milia at bay towards the last quarter of the year. So fingers crossed this will work through winter because it's always a bit of a gamble because using watery textures during winter can actually lead to moisture loss if you don't seal it in with an occlusive. So we'll see. So far, so good. And no Milia. I haven't had any for a while, so seems to be the right strategy. But yeah, no real new discoveries from any Asian brands in the eye care category, which is, it's a bit sad to be honest, because I do love me a good eye product. And 2018 there were so many eye products that I really liked. So, 2019, bit of a stinker on the eye care front. So let's move quickly to the next category, which is moisturizers. So creams, lotions, and emulsions. A great moisturizer can really make your routine a success, I think. Even just a quick minimalist routine works if you have a very, very good moisturizer. I tried a lot of different moisturizers throughout 2019 and I liked many of them, though I have to say the pharmacy moisturizers, again, French pharmacy brands, European pharmacy brands, they just kind of won me over more than the Asian ones overall, at least in the first half of the year, especially during winter 2019. I really relied a lot on pharmacy brands. One Korean moisturizer in particular, however, totally impressed me. And I have mentioned it a number of times here. I think this just happens with favorites. You just keep re-mentioning them. That's how they become favorites. I also did talk about it on the blog quite a lot of times, though it might have been in a German article. I'm not sure. But definitely, you have heard me talk about this. You've also seen it numerous times on Instagram. And it is, of course, the Yurang Rose Ceramide Repair Cream. It was just such a highlight for me in 2019. This is a pretty rich cream, so I was surprised how well it worked for my skin. It's pretty thick consistency-wise and more aimed at dry skin, but I never found it too heavy or too overpowering for my skin. When I apply this to my face, it melts into the skin and it smells so nice. It smells exactly like fresh cut roses, not that cloying, annoying rose scent. A very fresh and dewy type of rose scent, just how I like it. And I just feel it's like almost like going to a spa. It has something very pampering about it and just feels nice. And whenever I use this, and I tend to use it more as a night cream, my skin seems to soak up the rich ingredients. Rose water is one of them, and of course ceramides, as is in the name. The cream is gentle, soothing, and very smoothing. It's great for mature skin, for dry skin, and as a winter and or night cream for combo skin. Oily skin and younger skin types with little dryness may find this too rich and thick though. My second favorite of 2019 when it comes to key beauty moisturizers is also more of a richer cream, surprisingly enough. Guys, am I just getting old and need richer creams all of a sudden? Is this what is happening? Is this just the sneaky way in which my age plays into my choices for skincare? This is a scary thought. 2 days before my birthday. Let's not dwell on that. So anyway, this is technically not a Korean product because it is from a Western brand. It's from IT Cosmetics, but it's made in Korea and is very close in formula to a very well-known Korean product. Actually two. One is the Holika, I think it's called the Rich Ceramide Cream or Super Ceramide Cream. And then of course the Dr. Jart Ceramidin cream, the whole cream range. And I'm talking, of course, about the quite famous IT Cosmetics Confidence in a Cream, which very kindly was sent to me by IT Cosmetics Germany. This is another cream with a thicker texture, but it doesn't feel as heavy or look as thick as the Urang cream. It's almost like a thicker emulsion in texture, not oily or balmy. It's very milky and creamy once you apply it. One of those miracle Korean skincare textures that are the reasons why I love Korean skincare so much. I really, really like this cream a lot. It is a great way to deeply moisturize my skin without having any feeling of tackiness or stickiness. I can use this during the day as well, though I tend to grab it more often at nighttime. This one comes highly recommended if you have severely thirsty skin. It also lasts quite a while, so I do feel that the higher price point is justified, although if you can grab the Holika cream, it is a very, very close dupe to the IT Cosmetics one. I dare to venture the guess that it's probably the same manufacturer. It's not a one-on-one dupe, but it's very, very, very similar. I would say that the IT Cosmetics one is just a tad more elegant in formula. The next category is face oils, and I did mention quite a few face oils last year when I talked about favorites, but okay, honestly, I have not really used any new interesting face oils at all in 2019. And in this year as well, so far just nothing, especially from any Asian brands, nothing really new was sent to me, and I didn't really feel inclined to buy anything new. I still have a very good pharmacy facial oil that I sometimes use from a German pharmacy brand. And I don't know why, but I just didn't reach for face oils as much this year as last year. No idea why, I really can't tell you. Sometimes that just happens. So I decided to just not even try to pretend that I have a fave because I honestly just couldn't justify calling any face oil a fave. I just didn't use them much at all. So this one is an empty category. I'm sorry. Next up is sunscreens. Definitely not an empty category because I had a clear favorite. One Korean sunscreen stood out to me so clearly last year, and that was the Althea Petal Velvet Sun Away with SPF 50+ and PA Quadruple Plus. I didn't have any expectations trying this Althea exclusive sunscreen, and given that it is quite budget friendly, and I guess I'm always a tad snobbish about budget sunscreens, I was mostly suspicious about its quality. I'm just being honest here, but it's great. Again, there is a full review of this sunscreen on my blog, so check that out for all the details. It is a physical sunscreen, but it doesn't leave a white cast from what I can tell. Though, to be fair, I am pretty pale, so I cannot vouch for this being the case for darker skinned people. Maybe check if you can find reviews from darker skinned people. Sorry, I just can base it on my own skin type, and for me it worked really well and didn't make me look washed out or paler. The texture of the Petal Velvet Sun Away is rather special. The word velvet in the product name isn't just there to sound luxurious, some marketing ploy. It is actually a very velvety and soft texture. It has a cream texture, so it's a little bit thicker than usually the sunscreens that I like, but it does still feel milky when you apply it. You have to shake it up as well. It has that little shake bottle, and once you apply it, it does really get absorbed by the skin really well. For me personally, it's not quite as light as other sunscreens I prefer. But I have heard from drier skin people that it's not rich enough for them. So I would say that it is best for people with oily combo or normal skin with only slight dryness problems. It does mattify the skin a little bit, though I do feel that the mattifying effect doesn't last very long. But what mattifying effect does? It doesn't cause any extra sebum, I feel, and works really well with my skin. Once applied, it really just feels like a normal cream without any of the annoying qualities that sunscreens usually have. It usually plays well with my BB creams or cushions as well, so a winner in my eyes. I've almost used it up, so have been using it consistently. I've tried other sunscreens as well and always mix it up, but I do always go back to this one regularly. Another favorite I have to mention here is a repeat favorite from 2018. I have used it so much, though, throughout this year as well, or rather last year. I'm still using it. I just used it up. It was a large bottle, so it took me a while. I just feel I had to name it again in 2019 because it has remained a favorite. Again, I do always go back to it, just as with the Althea one. And that is, of course, the Claire's Soft Airy UV Essence with SPF 50 and PA Quadruple Plus. It just is still one of the best sunscreens I know. It is quite budget-friendly because it does come in a large tub, a tube, and it lasts a long time. The texture is fantastic. I mean, I have, a full review on my blog and English review. You can read all about it there. Nothing, in my opinion, has changed. I love this product, and I hope I can repurchase it at some point. Now, the only thing I would say is that I'm always a bit surprised to find so many dry-skinned influencers say that the Claire's Essence, UV Essence, is a favorite for them. I would actually say this is not the greatest one for very dry skin types because it does not add any extra moisture. It feels actually very emulsion-like, so it doesn't really provide a lot of nourishment. I think this is much better for oilier skin types, but I don't know, maybe it's just me. Now, sleeping creams. Honestly, again, not much change here from last year. Somehow I haven't tried any new sleeping creams at all. I just kind of rotate between three creams that I use as overnight masks. Only one of them actually is an overnight mask, and all three have been mentioned on here since 2018 already. It's just there hasn't been anything new as of yet. I'm still kind of thinking, as I said in the last episode, that the new Dr. Jart Cica Pair sleeping mask might become a new favorite, but I first have to actually purchase it and try it. I'm eyeing it up. I'm waiting for Yes Style to reduce the price. It's so expensive at the moment, so watch the space. Usually, as I said, I rotate between three creams, sleeping creams. I just added them here, even though they are not new and are a bit of a repeat. But still, and probably always, the Claire's Freshly Juiced Vitamin E Mask will be forever the bestest sleeping mask cream or pack that I know. It is so fantastic for brightening. Love the unique texture. It is a wonderful product. A holy grail for sure. And then another classic, mentioned too many times here. You must be sick of it by now, but it is so good. I just ran out, still haven't been able to repurchase, and I swear every other night I go, I can't believe I don't have this right now. I need this on my skin because my skin has been freaking out because the weather has been so weird. And it's, of course, the Claire's Midnight Blue Calming Cream. Whenever my skin has a freak out, when it's very inflamed, when I've over exfoliated, when I just need something to soothe and calm down my skin, this is what I use, and I love to use it just as an overnight mask, as the last layer at night to just seal everything in, and it always helps to calm down my skin. It's a must-have. And then the third one is actually an Indian product. I'm pretty sure I've talked about this one as well on the podcast, and it's the Vico Cream, which has turmeric and sandalwood oil. This one I usually use when my skin is breaking out or when it seems especially oily, when I have pimples. It is not for the faint of heart because it's quite strong and the smell is quite intense, especially if you choose the option with the sandalwood oil. I think they have one without essential oils as well. But this, I don't care if it's strong, I don't care if it smells strange. It is a miracle if you have acne prone or oily skin, it does seem to sometimes make my skin prickle a little bit. So it has some active ingredient, I'm guessing because it's so high in turmeric, but it doesn't aggravate the skin. On the contrary, it seems to calm it right down and really works well as a strong antibacterial treatment overnight. Not for the faint of heart, but I am a massive fan. I just finished my first tube, and luckily my dear sister, who gets to travel a lot more than me because she's actually successful and has money, she went on a trip to, where did she go? Was it Singapore as well? I don't remember. Somewhere where you can actually get your hands on that cream, and she bought me a new cream. And so I can just continue to use this, thank God, because it's not as easy to get here. You can sometimes find it in Asian stores, but unfortunately we don't have a very large Indian diaspora here, so not many Indian immigrants, which is a shame because I love Indian food and I really miss being able to just easily buy stuff. There was a huge Asian store in a previous German city where I lived, and they always had a really, really good Indian section. Here it's not great. They also don't have much Korean food. They just have some basic Chinese brands and not much else. Ugh, it's quite annoying. And on to face mists, another favorite key beauty category of mine. I so appreciate a good hydrating mist. And lately, the Korean brands, I think, have really nailed the hydrating mist. Two mists were strong favorites of mine, both of them bi-face mists with an oil and a watery face that you have to shake to mix up. The first one doesn't come as much of a surprise because I kept mentioning it on the podcast long before I was actually able to try it, because you see, I just knew that it would be good. And it's the CRS Time is Running Out mist. It really fulfilled all the hype and promise around it for me, and I enjoy it tremendously. It has an orange-tinted oil face made with, amongst other oils, macadamia oil. This is a particularly rich oil. And then it has a watery face that mostly consists of ultra-hydrating organic Chinese plum water. The mist also contains essential oils. So again, maybe this one isn't for everyone, but I love its subtle fragrance and I don't find the oils problematic on my skin. Even though it is an oily mist, it sprays out finely enough to not feel oily on the skin. Just refreshing and lovely hydrating. It's definitely on the richer side, I would say, for a mist, and it works best in winter, at least for my skin. But it also works really well all throughout the year for drier or severely dehydrated skin types. For me, it works well because my skin is showing signs of aging. Here we are again. That does mostly mean for me, it's interestingly enough, it just means that I'm constantly dehydrated. It's worse in winter for sure. So right now, I'm just so grateful for this mist. Now, having said this, I also have to add that if I had to pick just one mist out of all the mists, it would be the second facial mist favorite for 2019 and not the Sioris mist, as much as I love that one. But you see, the awesome rehydrating double mist, awesome written with an AU, it's because it's made in Australia, you see. This one is just that tiny, tiny bit more amazing. I think it's mostly because it has the slightly more superior spray nozzle. It sprays out ever so finely. Probably one of the finest mists I know. And I also feel that the oils in it, since this one too is a bi-faced mist, which it makes it even more amazing that it sprays out so finely, that's not easy to manage when you have oils in them. So I feel that the oils are a little less prominent, so it feels more refreshing overall and works better, just a tad, a tiny, tiny bit better for my skin type. Especially in hotter weather, this just works a little bit better for me. So I notice I grab it a bit less at the moment. It just seems not as nourishing as the Sioris one. So kind of in reverse, that also means right now in winter, I go more for the Sioris one. Come summer, I will probably again gravitate more towards the awesome one. They're both fantastic. So these are just tiny, tiny differences. And let's move on to the last category, which is basically just other honorable mentions. It's sad but true. I haven't really tried any new makeup products from Asia this year. Not even from Western makeup products. I don't know. I just don't get a lot of makeup PR. This year, I didn't get any. Or rather, I keep saying this year. I mean last year. Also this year, but this has only been 3 weeks. If I get sent something, it's usually skincare. And I don't really have... I don't know. Makeup is... I would love to review more of it, but it's very difficult to keep up. You would kind of have to invest a lot of money to get products that are rather fleeting. I used to review more German drugstore makeup, and honestly, people get interested in it for a very, very short time. It has a sort of tentpole moment where a lot of people Google it, and then they get driven to my blog, but then they never come back. They just kind of pick up that info for that limited edition, and they don't really stick around. And for that to invest money, I've kind of told myself I will only buy something if I really, really like it and want it. And there hasn't been anything where I really felt, yes, I'm gonna invest 50 euros in this palette or that. I like a lot of things, but I also, there just hasn't been a reason. I haven't worn as much makeup either, so it just hasn't been a topic. And I feel a bit sad about it because I used to experiment a lot with makeup. I would like to get back to it. But yeah, no real mentions here, not even a new foundation. It's a bit sad. I should at least get back to reviewing cushions or something like that. But yeah, I just don't get any PR from makeup brands. At least so far. Sad but true. So yeah, that just means that I don't really have any honorable mentions when it comes to makeup from Korea. I'm so sorry. So at this point, I just wanted to shout out two more skincare products that I got kind of on the cusp of 2020. So late 2019, and I'm just kind of worried that if I don't mention them here, maybe I will have forgotten about them once the faves of 2020 will be announced in 2021. It's weird to think that far ahead, but yeah, with these products that usually come in between the years, sometimes you forget about them. And I just want to make sure that I mention them favorably here and talk about them a little bit. Now, one of them I have already talked about the last time, but I just really have been so impressed with it. I also just reviewed these on the blog. So again, definitely going to link to their blog review in the episode notes. And it's, of course, the Bella Monster Stress Out Solution Pad. I'm so impressed with these toner pads at the moment. I just love using them. Probably going to repurchase once they are finished, but I still have around 50 or so. So they're going to last for a while. They contain a little bit of lactic and also glycolic acid, so I do use them on days where I skip my other acids. They seem to really help to gently smooth my rough winter skin and just refresh my complexion so beautifully. These just offer such a nice mix of hydration and very, very mild peeling. And I really appreciate them, especially in the morning, to just sort of wipe off that cleansing gunk, I guess, sort of what's left over from doing a quicker cleanse than in the evening. I might be a little bit too quick in saying this. I have to see what happens long term, but at the moment, dare I say it, I may even like these better than the famous Cosrx Red pads. But we'll see how it goes. And the second shout out I want to give here is for the Blancduce The Lab Oligo Hyaluronic Acid Boosting Ampoule, which I also only just started using, but I'm already obsessed with it. So obsessed. If you go to my Instagram, which is at sugarpeachesloves, please follow me. You can see a little texture video of this wonderfully pure hydrating ampoule, which is free from any fragrance, from any alcohol, and it uses the same high quality low molecular hyaluronic acid as the famous Blancduce toner, which has become a real cult favorite in the Korean skincare community, just as I predicted, I think, in one of my first ever podcasts 2 years ago. Ha ha ha, being a bit smug here. It's this ampoule, it's so pure, is the right word to use here. Just the purest form of deep hydration. And my skin is just soaking it up like a sponge when I use this. I would say this might be the best hydrating ampoule I've ever tried. It's truly amazing, masterfully formulated. You can tell that they know exactly what they're doing. I'm really, really hyped now to try other things from that brand. I wouldn't be surprised if this will remain a constant favorite until the end of 2020, but we'll see if my prediction holds. And this is it for today. These were my key beauty favorites of 2019. It was a really good year for discovering new products, and I really haven't had many products that completely disappointed me. Sometimes I think about doing like a misbehave of the year, but I had the same problem last year because I really thought about doing it. But then I sat down and tried to write down all the flops that I had, and it's not enough to really make for a full episode. It would be something like 15 minutes. And it's the same this time. I can hardly think of any products, especially from the Asian beauty category, that I disliked. Most of them I liked, or I was kind of indifferent towards them. I didn't dislike them. They were really nice, but I don't know if I would ever be excited to repurchase them or review them or rave about them. So yeah, no real flops, and mostly just very positive experiences. It's interesting. I read a blog post from someone a few weeks ago who used to be a very active and very well-known key beauty blogger, but she kind of stopped blogging, I think for a good year or two. Well, she wrote a new blog post saying that key beauty is over, just so you know. The decade of key beauty was the 2010s, and in 2020, no one really cares about key beauty anymore. No one really needs it anymore. And to be honest, I think what she meant was that she isn't interested in it anymore, which I totally understand. Her interests have just shifted. Not everyone will be obsessed about skincare their entire lives. You might just discover something new that is more exciting for you. She just moved. She has a new job. She lives in a new city. She describes all of that. It's a really beautiful article. She's a great writer. And that's all fine, but I just found it a bit strange to just declare all of Korean beauty over, because it's a complete industry. It's like saying Western beauty is over just because K-beauty is booming at the moment. It might be that the hype will die down a bit, but I don't know. She also wrote about, there isn't any innovation anymore and just nothing new to discover. All the basics are covered now. And again, I felt she was more writing about her own experience, but I don't think you can turn that into an argument saying K-beauty full stop isn't interesting anymore, because new people are discovering it all the time. I talk to so many people who listen to the podcast and say, you're my entryway into K-beauty at the moment, and never heard about it before. And now I'm obsessed. So even now in 2020, I'm pretty sure there will be a lot of people finding K-beauty. And even if they don't get super excited by K-beauty anymore, there will always be new brands and new products. K-beauty does not need us influencers to decide whether or not it's still in fashion. K-beauty will survive, and it will still produce really interesting products. I mean, come on, organic K-beauty trending and booming like crazy at the moment. So much innovation, so many new brands, cruelty-free K-beauty. It's becoming more and more accepted that this is something very important for the consumer. This is something very new, and the way it is being translated into products is, to me, very interesting, and also something that I don't see die down in the next year. So with all due respect, and I have huge respect for those first generation sort of K-beauty influencers from the early 2010s, but you can't just say that K-beauty is over and we don't need it anymore. We don't need to. Basically, I think her argument was, we don't need to write about it anymore. And again, I think she meant she doesn't really see a need to write about it anymore, but that doesn't mean it has to be true for everyone else. I think there's plenty of content to write about. And I personally actually cannot wait to see what the new decade brings in terms of K-beauty. I still predict it will be mostly going towards the path of more and more indie brands becoming more interesting than the mainstream. You know, the COSRX is kind of, the hype is probably going to die down a little bit. Some products will always be important, but I do see their innovation dying down a little bit. But just because the mainstream brands maybe aren't as innovative anymore doesn't mean you can't discover a lot of new and exciting stuff. And just because you have your basics covered doesn't mean that your curiosity for something new will die down. I don't know. We'll see. But my prediction is I declare, no, I don't know if I'm right, but I think I'm right, that the hype around K-beauty, the mainstream breaking into the global beauty community, I think it has only just started, and I think there's so much more to discover. So don't you worry, listeners. I have a ton of content coming your way this year, promised. And of course, you may ask now, where besides this podcast can you find said content? Well, listeners, first of all, thank you for asking. And you can, and you absolutely should, visit my blog, which is the heart and soul of my K-beauty passion, or any beauty passion. I do want to really talk about other brands as well, not just Korean ones. And you find it at sugarpeachesloves.net. I'm also on Instagram, and my handle there is at sugarpeachesloves. Please follow me. I'm always so happy to get new followers. It's so hard on Instagram to be found. And then the podcast is also on Twitter. The handle is at KeyBeautyPodcast. You can listen and subscribe to this podcast on all of the platforms. And of course, you can also listen to it on the blog. If you have any questions, queries, topic suggestions, or you are a brand and you are interested in working with me as a content creator, copywriter, blogger, social media management, anything to do with brand consulting in the beauty niche, please don't hesitate to contact me at sugarpeachesloves@gmail.com. If you want to help out this podcast, if you think that you want to be a supporter, the best and easiest way to do this is by leaving a 5-star rating or even a full 5-star review. This helps make the Apple Podcast algorithm pick up on the podcast being something worth listening to, and it will help me reach a wider audience. So thank you if you take the time to do this. If you want to support my work as a blogger and podcaster financially, one great way is to use the affiliate links provided in the podcast episode notes and also in the other blog articles when you make your beauty purchases. This doesn't cost you any extra money, and it's a fantastic way of support for me. It really, really helps tremendously. Also, if you wish to, you can also directly donate to my Ko-fi page, which I always link in the episode notes. It's a one-time PayPal donation, roughly the amount that a takeaway coffee would cost, so around $3. You can also buy me more than one. People have done this before. However you like, it's not a must, but it's always really appreciated. I'm not gonna lie. Really helps out so much for me to actually do this work. A massive, massive thank you to the kind listener who bought me a virtual coffee and some extra, really generous donation from him. So thank you again. We already talked on Instagram. So thank you, thank you, thank you. He also wrote such a nice message. Thank you. I said this to my sister the other day. It's still such a small audience on this podcast, but guys, my podcast audience, all of you listening right now, you have been the most supportive, the most vocal in your support out of all the people that are reading and following, and you're kind of very special to me. So thank you. All right then, let's discuss more skincare and maybe also finally some makeup at some point in this year. Very soon again, right after I've survived my birthday. I can't believe it's up in 2 days. Where has the time gone? I don't understand. So let's just hope that the new decade of K-beauty will be everything we are all wishing for. And you can betcha that I will have plenty to talk about in 2020. I have a hunch that the decade will be just as exciting, if not more exciting, than the previous one. What do you say? So until then, happy masking, layering, and patting. Bye. Happy New Year. Take care and thank you.